You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here on a Wednesday morning up north. It is 8:06 right now, and temperatures around the state, by and large, are in the 40s, the low to mid 40s. Still a couple of spots hanging on to their upper 30s, but otherwise, for November, not a bad morning across Wisconsin. We're going to be talking to Earl Ingram from Civic Media in just a sec. We'll be visiting with Melissa Baldoff to talk about climate issues, but also talk about, since she's a political strategist, talk about her view on all of the election results from many states that came in last night. And we'll be talking to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, who will talk about measles outbreaks and how they doesn't have to be like this, folks. We got vaccines. We got symptoms that we for. And so we will talk to Dr. Snooks about that. And so let's, before we get to that at about 8:35, we'll do that. But first, let's bring in Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast that you can find over at Civic Media, civicmedia.us, to learn more. Earl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Pat. I can't believe it's already Wednesday.
I can't either, and I can't believe that we're now less than 1 year away from big elections in Wisconsin, including the gubernatorial election. And I basically want to pick up where I left off yesterday, talking to Dan Schaefer, and then we were talking a bit, you and I, last week about the Democratic field and the extent to which I don't know that I've ever heard so much pre-candidacy buzz about will he or won't he. I mean, we said a little bit about Josh Call, will he or won't he. 8 years ago it was Tony Evers, will he or won't he get in, and now we're doing this with Mandela Barnes, but it's going off in a direction I think a lot of folks did not see coming and are not happy with.
Well, I know Mandela Barnes well. I've known him since his early stages of his political career. I am in contact with him. He's in contact with me a couple times a week now. So I kind of know a little something that most may be thinking that they know, but don't know. But what I want to talk about, Pat, is the fact that there are people in the Democratic Party who are saying he's a loser and that he shouldn't run because I guess what? They've got all the rest of the people are winners. I mean, based on what? What is their rationale for saying that all these other people and these names that are in the hopper are somehow in a better position to win the nomination than Mandela Barnes? Whether people like it or not, he did run a close national race and barely lost by a whisker to a sitting United States senator. Let's be honest. What's at the root of this, Pat, are people who are afraid that if he gets in the race, their goose is cooked. Well, that's the way it is, Pat. Everybody in this country who is not a criminal has a right to run for office. Why are we trying to prevent this man from running for office?
And by the way, as seen in the White House, criminals can run for office too. We just live in a different time. Let me turn it this way then, because you know everything that you're saying indicates to me that the former lieutenant governor and former U.S. Senate candidate is still extremely interested in running. May announce at some point here. So let's be forward looking on this. If Mandela Barnes decides to get into the race, there are a couple of different ways he can go. He can just, you know, run against Trump. He can run against Republicans. But he can also, because as some people say, he wasn't, you know, quote unquote, battle tested in the primary. Maybe he has to start off his campaign by, you know, doing direct contrasts to the people already in the race, David Crawley, Kelda Royce, Missy Hughes, Fran Hong, and everybody else who's going to get in. Does he have to come in with like sharp elbows right away if you were advising him, or what's the best way for him to enter the race for governor if he chooses to?
Well, number one, that's not who he is. I don't think he should change who he is in order to please people. He's not a guy who's going to do that. That's not his nature. What Mandela Barnes should do is be Mandela Barnes. And I'll tell you this much. Many of those names that you mentioned, I don't know them from Adam. We're talking about somebody who has to defeat a strong Republican candidate. You and I have been around a while, Pat. We remember like yesterday, Scott Walker and his time and his tenure as governor of this state. Do people want that again? Do they want to see a return of that? Because after this is all said and done, Pat, aren't we hoping that the candidate, whoever that is, can defeat whoever the Republicans are going to put up? And so with all the names that you mentioned, I don't know any of them that, you know, I think can defeat whoever that Republican candidate is outside of Mandela Barnes. And so whether people like it or not, he went toe-to-toe with the sitting United States senator. And people can say that makes him a loser, but those are people who really have an axe to grind outside of, you know, looking at this thing through the proper prism.
And let me tell you something else that has changed since he ran for Senate in 2022, is that voters have become very wise to the billionaire influence in our politics. We saw that in the voters' rebuke of Elon Musk in the last state Supreme Court election. We specifically saw it yesterday in Pennsylvania, where one billionaire tried to take out five progressive state Supreme Court justices, and people made that the issue, and they jumped all over it. You talk about Mandela Barnes falling short against Ron Johnson, and as people have heard me say over and over, no, he fell short against Ron Johnson and a couple of billionaires who propped him up. And people are a lot more wise to that now than they were in 2022. And I'm also glad you invoked Scott Walker, because whether it's Tom Tiffany or Josh Shulman, whoever becomes that Republican nominee will talk a lot about how much they love Trump. But if voters keep in mind that they're going to govern like Scott Walker, who took this state immeasurably backwards in his 8 years, I think that's the kind of message any Democratic nominee for governor should be sharing.
Without question, you know, it was seemed like yesterday, but I remember what the state was with the control of Scott Walker and his minions. And so we've got to, in the end, you've got to defeat that person, whoever that person is going to be, Tom Tiffany, or if it's Michaels or whomever it is. So you need a strong person, a strong personality. Let me put it this way. Mandela Barnes is a nice guy. And I don't think that you have to be an ogre in order to win seats. And so he's battle tested. I don't know what people are talking about. He went up against, if you go up against Ron Johnson and all of that vitriol, you're a battle tested person.
We're talking to Earl Ingram. You can catch more of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast over at civicmedia.us. Another topic that you've been following there and personally as well is education. And I always appreciate the ground where you stand, because there's the ground of people that are just trying to tear down our public school systems. Then there are people who are, you know, public school advocates, but perhaps to a fault. And then there's you saying, yeah, our public schools need to be defended, but that does not make them perfect. And what were the thoughts you wanted to share about how the way we educate kids in our schools needs to change with the times?
It absolutely needs to change with the times, Pat. You know, I was just in schools on yesterday. I'll be back in the schools on tomorrow. And just watching public schools and just watching volunteering and just watching young people who really were trying to educate them in an archaic way. The way that I was educated, Pat, and the way that you were educated and that we thought everybody was going to universities is not the right way to approach it today, especially with AI. Many management, middle management, upper management jobs aren't going to be needed. We're doing a disservice to, I think, our young people. We need to start doing what they do in Germany, what they do in France, what they do in other nations, and that's start steering young people towards trades. The last time I checked, AI is not going to replace a plumber, electrician, a steam fitter, or any of those kinds of people. And those are strong, middle-class, career path, American dream path opportunities for young people. And I think one of the reasons that we won't do it, Pat, is there's so many universities in this country who don't want to shut down, and money is at the heart of it. And so what we're doing is sacrificing the lives of a lot of young people and their futures. We need to start looking at the trades and steering young people in those areas.
Well, the thing is, we are seeing some of those schools shut down. We've seen these small colleges and now these small UW campuses go away in large part because of a demographic cliff that is out there. And so why not take advantage, if you will, of that change in the dynamic? And do what you just said about Germany and in other countries. I was saying 15 years ago as a state legislator, is that we need to make senior year of high school mean something again. Right now, people are more or less just treading water. And instead, this should be a time to expose them to all things. I am a absolute supporter of a liberal arts education, but I'm also an absolute supporter of an affordable trades education, if that's the way that folks want to go. All of that will take an investment in our school systems. And unfortunately, we've got too many politicians that they have the inertia. They just don't want to make the investments that could help exactly in the path that you just cited.
Well, you know, Pat, we've got to educate young people into the value of trades. The greatest opportunities for young people in this nation right now to live a strong middle-class life and the American dream is through the trades. Because baby boomers are retiring. The opportunities are there. We've got the other part of it is, the last time I checked, once you become a tradesperson, you get involved in that, and you'll be trained without having any debt. And, you know, contrast that to liberal arts educations where people owe hundreds of thousands of dollars that they'll never get out from under. I'm not saying that we don't need liberal arts education. I'm saying that we need both. And when I was a young guy, we had both. And so we need to get back to that.
Absolutely. And by the way, you've talked about this. You talked about so many issues. We all try to have fairly well-rounded shows and podcasts on Civic Media. Yours might be the most well-rounded because along with that, you've got a recent examination of the non-United States of America with Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action. You've got Dr. Omar talking about hypertension as it relates to blood pressure. I mean, you seriously, you're covering it all on your podcast.
Well, you know, we've got some podcasts in the hopper right now as we speak that'll be up and out and going. And I just think that, Pat, what we should do is there's so many different aspects to life that we need to cover all those different aspects. And all of us, regardless of whether we're in rural America or urban America, face the same thing. We're human beings, and exactly, we face the same kind of realities.
And you can learn more at the civicmedia.us. Click on shows for the What's Going On podcast with Earl Ingram. Earl, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Always good talking to you. See you later.
You bet. All right. Pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks is coming up. We'll talk about climate issues and election night results as well. All ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So we've created a couple of new social media accounts for you to follow just to learn more about the show and the things that we talk about and the things that catch our eye throughout the rest of the day. You can get us on Facebook. We have a page there, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Unfortunately, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is too long for a Twitter handle on X or for Blue Sky. So for those, we just took Pat Kreitlow, the initials, and created PK Radio Show. So if you go to Twitter or Blue Sky and you start following PK Radio Show, you'll find out some of the posts that we make there. And you can follow the things that I do on Instagram and TikTok at Pat Kreitlow. And of course, search for Up North News WI on social media as well. Civic Media has a daily newsletter filled with show highlights and links and more. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com to subscribe to the Civic Media Daily Newsletter, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Melissa Baldoff is with us now, a political strategist who helps a lot of folks that are concerned about the climate, and we're going to talk about climate issues, but we're going to have her put on her political strategist hat for us first for a bit and talk about last night's election results, which were, again, most people say blue wave. I've seen other people call it a blue tsunami. It's not a big surprise. Donald Trump does not win any other elections in his first term or his second when he's not directly on the ballot. So it wasn't a big surprise, Melissa Baldoff, but these were still some pretty nice results to see, including ones I wasn't following, but indicate just how deep this blue wave was.
Yeah, really exciting news last night. Great news for not just Democrats, but for independents, for Republicans, for everyone who wants their government to work for them and to help them, make their lives affordable. I think that the big race on most people's radar was the New York City mayor's race, and Zoran Mamdani, mayor-elect, ran on making the city more affordable, and that was something that was very effective, and it's something that we saw in other races as well, particularly. Energy costs were big in the New Jersey governor's race. And then, saw some exciting things in Virginia as well, because we have a lot of federal employees, folks who have been impacted by the shutdown, impacted by higher utility rates. But the one that was really, I found to be a very exciting victory was in Georgia. Their public service commission elects their commissioners, different than how we do it here. And Democrats flipped two seats there to have, to have control of public service commission. And that for the first time in 25 years, they were able to flip those seats. And it was motivated by people who are impacted by higher utility prices. And that's something that, again, Democrats are able to run on these economic issues and win big in places like Georgia and in places like Mississippi, where Democrats flipped two legislative seats in order to be able to break the Republican supermajority there. So it's very exciting to see this kind of messaging resonate with people all across the country.
Oh yeah. And in Virginia, the governor-elect Abigail Spanberger talked about climate. Every county in Virginia, and a lot of them are very red, but every county in Virginia shifted blue. California, of course, passed Prop 50 for fairer maps nationwide to offset the rigging that was going on in Texas. In Maine, they passed red flag laws for gun safety. They rejected a voter obstruction referendum. Colorado passed two measures that would lead to free meals for all public school students, give raises to cafeteria workers, provide grants to schools to purchase fresh ingredients from local farmers. In Pennsylvania, all five state Supreme Court justices who were Democratic were reelected, even though a billionaire spent millions and millions of dollars in this election.
Hey, we know that story here.
Exactly. See, I think they looked at us in Wisconsin and said, hey, billionaires can actually be an issue here in a race that maybe they shouldn't be able to buy their votes. So again, just a lot to develop. And I was not aware of what happened in Georgia and Mississippi. So I appreciate getting even more good news from you on that. All right, let's turn toward a couple of climate issues really quick here. Governor Tony Evers is attending a climate conference in Brazil. What are we hoping to learn from that trip?
What I hope to see, and what I'm guessing the governor and the team are hoping to learn, is what other countries are doing and how other leaders, where there is national leadership, where there is a national commitment to addressing the climate crisis, how people are approaching that. You know, just because we have a federal government who is hostile to clean energy progress doesn't mean that the work stops and doesn't mean that we're all going to just give up and say nothing's going to happen for the 4 years he's in office. We know that there is really incredible work happening at the state and local level throughout this country, that the philanthropic community is stepping up, that nonprofits, community-based organizations are stepping up, and they are still getting the work done. So my guess is that the governor is, you know, excited to meet with other leaders, see what they're doing, learn from them, and also have an opportunity to connect with like-minded folks and organizations that are continuing to do this work.
All right. And we've got just a minute left, so we won't have time to give this justice. Maybe we'll pick it up next week. But Bill Gates put out a paper about climate change, and it caught a lot of people off guard with him sounding a little less urgent about the need to address the climate crisis. Or were people reading too much into it? What's your quick view of what Bill Gates had to say?
My quick view is that he's just another billionaire capitulating to Donald Trump and trying to curry favor. Pre-surrendering never works, and signaling that he's willing to kind of soften his stance and be more aligned with the Trump administration is very disappointing and unfortunately not surprising. And I think he'll find out that it was the wrong choice.
It's always about the billionaires. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for all the insight. Appreciate it so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, who's got the Raising Wisconsin video series, and we'll talk about measles outbreaks in Wisconsin and elsewhere as we continue along live from the lake on a Wednesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer about the government shutdown and the impact on SNAP benefits to working families around Wisconsin. We'll talk with Joe Sopecki. We'll have Sherita Booker in talking about some of the weekend events you can attend around the state. Chad Holmes will join us from 98.9 WXCO, our civic media station in Wausau, with stories from his neck of the woods. Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show will visit, as will Sean O'Malley to talk about your money and the markets, all ahead on a busy Thursday on these mornings powered by Up North News. At Up North News, we have a new video series, Raising Wisconsin, featuring pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks. Follow it on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Again, just search for Up North News WI. The aforementioned Dr. Kelly Snooks joins us now as well to visit for a bit and talk about measles outbreaks and more. Dr. Snooks, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so nice to have you here. Again, by and large, on a proactive matter to help keep people healthy. Unfortunately, part of the reason that we're talking today is that we've had these measles outbreaks with kids, sometimes with fatal consequences, and basically, am I right to say entirely preventable when we're talking about measles outbreaks?
Yeah, I mean, preventable in the sense that we have the tool to prevent it. There are some individuals that, you know, might be immunocompromised that might still be at risk for getting it. But when we think about the tools, vaccines and herd immunity are proven to prevent it. We saw the rates go down significantly when our herd immunity rates were great. And then, you know, over the past decade or so, we've seen these ongoing outbreaks, and even here in Wisconsin. So yes, I would say preventable because we know what works to keep kids healthy from it.
Can we talk about herd immunity for a moment? And the magic behind it is that you don't necessarily have to have 100% vaccination, but there is a level at which, and if people are going, oh, well, if not everybody gets it, then I guess my kid or I don't have to get a particular vaccination. But you get enough people doing that, and it undermines what herd immunity is.
Right, exactly. And you need over 90% of the population to have herd immunity. And in Wisconsin, our children, our immunization rates are in the 80s. So well below that, we're some of the lowest in the nation. So it's concerning that we're below those numbers, because so many people have now been like, well, if I don't need it, then, you know, I'll be fine. But when that many people decide that they don't need to be vaccinated against it, you know, that's when we start to see problems like outbreaks that we're seeing.
Yeah. And we'll turn to the vaccine in just a moment, but to put the focus first on measles, and because there are these outbreaks that have taken place in Wisconsin and other states, let's talk a bit about measles itself, and especially for people who know kids might not be immunized, what are the signs and symptoms to look out for? So let's start with an overview of measles. What it is, it's nothing to sneeze at.
Right, exactly. So measles will start, you might have an exposure, and then about 1 to 2 weeks after the exposure, you'll see those three common Cs. And I think the scary thing right now is in viral season, it might just look like a common cold. You know, your child might have a cough, they might have like red, runny eyes, and then coryza is like the congestion, runny nose, things like that. So those are the three Cs to look for. There is one thing that happens around this time that is a little bit unique to measles, and they're called Koplik spots, and those develop on the inside of the mouth. So those are like small whitish bluish spots that develop like on the inside of the cheek, back near the teeth. So those are kind of hallmark features. Now, during this time, you also have a high fever. And like I said, it could disguise itself like a common cold. You know, not everybody's going to be checking their child's mouth for those particular spots. Shortly following those symptoms, though, is when that telltale sign of that rash develops. So, you know, starting somewhere around the forehead and on the head, and very classically, it then spreads to the entire body, kind of working its way down. It's a reddish, brownish, flat rash. There's a really good picture of it on the video that was posted last week on Raising Wisconsin. But I think knowing where you're traveling to and if there has been an exposure for measles is going to be really important. Almost all of the cities, counties, states will have their public health website to let you know where outbreaks are happening. I know currently, I think there's Arizona, Utah, Texas, like we knew about, South Carolina, I saw one on recently. So just some of these areas to keep an eye out for. And then, the care is mainly supportive for individuals that do contract measles, but some of the complications are scary. So there's pneumonia, which is, you know, an infection of the lungs, difficulty breathing. And then there's what we call encephalitis, which is basically an infection, inflammation of the brain. And those are the complications that really can cause death in children, especially those that are young and don't have, you know, the strength to fight off these infections. So the vaccine and herd immunity are the best things that we have to prevent against these serious complications.
We're talking to pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, and this is not to be alarmist when we talk about how serious this can get, because, and I can't believe we're saying this in the United States of America in 2025, but children have died from measles.
Yes.
This is something yep. that is preventable. And it is to hear these stories. I believe it was Texas maybe where we saw one earlier. And I mean, one is too many when you've got something like a vaccine that can deal with it. Tell folks about the vaccine, you know, what it does, why it works. Is it for multiple things? There's the MMR vaccine. What do people need to know about it and its efficacy?
Yeah, so the vaccine is safe and effective. It's been tested so many times, and we know that. It's called the MMR, or the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. It's given after 1 year of age, and then again around that 4 to 5 years of age. There's going to be different guidelines depending on where you live, but traditionally 1 year and 4 years is what I've practiced before. It's a safe, it's effective vaccine. The one thing that I think I want to point out is for people that are concerned, and I actually had this question pop up, for individuals from like 6 months to a year, that's when that maternal immunity kind of starts to go away from measles. So there is actually the option for those younger infants below the 1 year age to get an additional vaccine. They'll still need to get the 1 year and the 5 year mark, but there is that option there to protect even younger individuals who are at a high risk. But again, it's a combination vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella. There's been talk recently about recommending splitting them up. That's not recommended by the AAP, to my knowledge. They have come out with their own guidance on vaccination schedule in light of everything that's been happening with the ACIP recommendations recently. But yes, it's a great way for us to prevent this. And I've given it to many children who I have not seen any complications with it.
You mentioned ACIP, and it gets into this whole notion of, you know, the national oversight, especially with the change in administrations, with the new Health and Human Services Secretary. And the point I feel like we've taken away from recent events is that it is perhaps more important than ever, not to rely on national voices or the, you know, Dr. Google and the rest of the internet, but to actually talk to your own provider who's going to be very upfront with you about, you know, the reasons why these vaccinations need to be considered and taken.
Correct. And, you know, they can go through every single risk that is out there. I know, you know, there's a lot of information that parents are fighting every single day, and it's tough. You know, you're getting all the risks that come with vaccines, like fevers. You know, there is a risk of a low risk of a febrile seizure. I think I've seen it once in the hundreds of vaccines that I'm giving, and children develop normally following that. But again, your pediatrician can walk you through these risks, but the risk of measles versus the risk of a febrile seizure, when I look at the severity of things like that, is something I think worth a discussion, but again, really important to think about the pros and cons of everything that you're looking at.
Dr. Kelly Snooks is a pediatrician. Check out her new Raising Wisconsin video series on the Up North News Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok video feeds. This next question is, it's going to come out and make me sound very frustrated because I am. It is this whole notion of number of jabs and people making this case of, oh, these kids, they get so many more jabs, so many more needles than they did when we were younger. And this is terrible. These are too many jabs. And again, I'm oversimplifying, but there's also more food choices than ever before in the grocery store. There's more channels on TV than ever before. You know, more is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm also not saying it's a good thing, but it certainly sounds to me, Dr. Snooks, like we have more opportunities than ever before to keep kids from getting sick and dying.
Exactly. I think, you know, the more jabs is because science has advanced so much. And as we've created one vaccine and we learn from that and we see the successes behind it, I mean, the very first video I did with Up North News was the smallpox eradication, right? Like the creation of the vaccine. And just science has just continued to grow and grow and grow. And I think it's great because we are able to protect children from diseases that would have killed them before. You know, I think the argument about the jabs, look at life expectancy, right? I think in addition to public health measures like hygiene and things along those lines, science has really contributed to preventing these diseases that were killing children years ago and just short, you know, within the last few decades. So vaccines have accelerated since I was a kid. There's even more, like I had the chicken pox, right? But now there's a vaccine to prevent against the severe complications from that.
For folks who are, who maybe missed these as a kid and maybe they're young adults at this point and now they're on their own. I mean, are these still things that they could be protected from? Because I know there are some illnesses, if you don't have them as a kid and you catch them as an adult, they can be very bad.
Yeah, there's definitely catch-up schedules out there for individuals that want to go back and catch up on some of these vaccines that they might have missed in the past. The CDC did have a vaccine schedule. To be honest, I haven't looked to see if that is still up there on a catch-up schedule, but there are great catch-up schedules for individuals to take a look at and talk again with your healthcare provider to see what's missing and what you might need. There's a way to draw titers to actually see the antibody levels in your blood against these diseases, and then they can help you catch up from there.
All right, Dr. Kelly Snooks is here talking about her video series, Raising Wisconsin, over at the Up North News social media sites. Where are you going from here? You've talked about measles and vaccinations. We're getting into cold and flu and sniffle season. Are you touching on some of that in future videos?
Yeah, so we'll talk. This upcoming video is going to be about how to prepare for viral season, signs to look for when to seek care. You know, in the pediatric intensive care unit, the one thing that I see a lot during viral season is difficulty breathing. So talking about, you know, what are the signs and symptoms like, hey, I should probably be going to the ER, talking about the flu vaccine, the new RSV monoclonal antibody that is out there for young infants. Catching up on like your pertussis vaccines. I think all of these things are important. So talking with your healthcare provider to make sure that you're up to date on all of these to protect children, keeping them hydrated, things along those lines. Also talk about safety when shopping on Black Friday, like what is a risk in a toy when you're looking at toys to buy for children in your life. There are some things that you need to be on the lookout for to make sure that your kids stay safe. We're going to debunk or talk about the Tylenol correlation and causation with autism. So there's a decent amount going up. But again, I'd like to know if there's anything in particular that listeners or viewers want to see because this is for everybody that's watching Up North News out there.
That's right. So put something in the comment sections of these videos. Dr. Kelly Snooks looks at it all. I'm going way off topic, but I know that you have been an advocate of gun safety for kids. And so knowing that in Maine last night, voters approved red flag laws, which are, you know, again, have 70, 80, 90% approval rating, for Maine to pass those into place surely has to say something about how Wisconsin could move ahead on that gun safety issue as well.
Yeah, I mean, extreme risk protection orders, I think, are great. There is data to show when they are implemented, they work. There is one on the board here in Wisconsin in the state this year. So I highly recommend, you know, if that's something that you're considering, I think there is momentum here and I think it's great. So individuals should check out the law that's been put into place and contact their legislators about it if they feel strongly about it. It's a movement on that.
All right, Dr. Kelly Snooks, thank you very much for your time. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll look for your video series over at Up North News.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Have a great day. We will wrap things up here. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's do a little sports, and then Parker and I are going to talk about some catchphrases here in just a bit. The Milwaukee Bucks lost in Toronto last night, 128-100, I believe, was the final, and they will now play the Chicago Bulls at home coming up on Friday. There is plenty of sports still ahead across the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, let's go in order here. We'll start on Friday. The Badger men's basketball team will be playing Northern Illinois now that their season is underway. Coverage of the Badger men's basketball team against Northern Illinois begins Friday at 7 p.m. on select Civic Media radio stations. On Saturday, the Badger football team will be hosting Washington. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Saturday on several Civic Media stations. On Saturday night, the Badger men's hockey team will be playing at Michigan. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Saturday evening on two Civic Media stations, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids and WJMS in Ironwood, Michigan, one of the newest Civic Media stations, and it's carrying all the Badger sports. And then, of course, the Packers have the Monday night football game next weekend. They'll play the Philadelphia Eagles Monday night. Coverage will begin at 5 p.m. on several Civic Media stations. You know where to go, civicmedia.us, to learn more, where the great question is, will Pat and Parker stay awake for the Packers Monday night football game? Or have they been so uninspiring this season that we just won't sweat it and we'll read the score when we wake up in the morning?
We're going to try.
We will try?
We're going to try to stay up.
Okay, we'll try. Nope, no promises here because, again, through the magic of the interwebs, we could just look at the highlights right before the show and say, did you see that catch? Which they couldn't do back in olden times. So speaking of olden times, I was looking at today's history lesson and noting that it was on this day in 1971 that a catchphrase was born, that Elvis Presley had done a concert at the old Met Center in Bloomington, Minnesota, and people still hung around. They wanted to see him. They were hoping for encores. And instead, the announcer tells the crowd, Elvis has left the building, as a way to make people go home. And the phrase kind of entered the cultural lexicon, but clearly only to a certain point, because Parker's never heard that phrase before.
No, I don't think I'd ever heard it.
No. And it reminded me of how, you know, catchphrases, they all have different shelf lives. And where you really got to see this was in the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. And it is so hard to catalog all of the many things that catch on, and some that catch on for a while, but then they fade away. Now, a great example of one that's been around for years and years and years would be, of course, More Cowbell.
More Cowbell.
More Cowbell, right?
Everyone knows More Cowbell. Frankly, I'm not 100% sure what it's from, but I know More Cowbell.
Well, wait a minute. You have seen the skit where more cowbell comes from. With you know, they're spoofing Blue Oyster Cult. Christopher Walken is in there, and Will Ferrell is playing the cowbell with his half T-shirt. And you're telling me you maybe don't know if you've seen that.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that, but I would not have been able to tell you that's what that is from.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Okay, because there's also I've got a couple of the other SNL ones here. Here's one that, of course, you would never get. But again, people of a certain age, if they hear Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead, and that'll still get a chuckle out of people. But you'll notice Parker did not chuckle.
I got no chuckles. No,
means absolutely nothing. Same goes for if you hear somebody say, well, isn't that special?
I do hear that. I don't know what that's from either, but I do hear that in my family a lot.
That was Dana Carvey playing the role of the church lady. A character there that he made famous. Jenny on YouTube, please school this child, Pat, and show him the clip. Tony noting that the cowbell skit basically launched Will Ferrell's career after that. So I love playing these things off of, because what I'm hoping is you or the listeners will throw something back at me and go, oh, this has been a catchphrase. But, well, you know, what's the one right now? We just talked about it yesterday. What's that stupid catchphrase? 6-7.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I don't even know what that is.
Nobody does, but you know, that's also what makes it why it has legs at the moment.
I hate our culture so much. So much.
Look, I gotta tell you, at the time, now look, when we heard the cowbell skit, we watched it. It was funny, and people said more cowbell for like a week, you know, laughing about it. But how do you know the things that are going to endure? And you don't know at the time, oh, this is going to be a landmark SNL skit. This is going to be a catchphrase that sticks around for, you know, 20 years. You just don't know in the moment. The first time that Eddie Murphy put on the costume to be Gumby in Saturday Night Live skits with Gumby and Bokey and says, I'm Gumby, damn it. And again, for a whole generation, that's funny. Or hearing George W. Bush as portrayed by Will Ferrell going, strategery. People still use strategery in certain ways, but again, not everybody. There was John Lovitz with, yeah, that's the ticket. I thought that phrase would never die, and thank God it finally did. But he was the compulsive liar. He just had to lie all the time. He'd lie about something and go, yeah, that's the ticket, and then it's gone. So we need to see if we can do instant history. And what are some other recent phrases that we think will catch on? Oh. And again, you just don't know. You know, I noticed that Sherry and I have been together for 40 years, and we say things that have been like catchphrases for so long that we no longer remember the origin story, or barely do. When we see a security officer in the mall somewhere. Well, we don't go to the mall anymore, but we still sing the song Security Guy in the Mall from a stand-up comic from 30 years ago. He had no idea he had created a catchphrase that sticks. So I want y'all to think about that. And at some later date, we're going to talk catchphrases. Parker, have a great day. We'll do this again tomorrow morning if you're up for it.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. I had a good time.
We pay him. Hope it works out for you as well. Come join us bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.